From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A major trial against pesticide and chemical manufacturer Monsanto has resulted in a historic $289 million settlement. The lawsuit in question was brought by a former groundskeeper in California named Dwayne Johnson, who suffers from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and blames his exposure to Monsanto's Roundup Ready for his condition. Bayer, which acquisitioned Monsanto for a whopping $62 billion, saw its shares plunge in the wake of the settlement. Monsanto is facing more than 5,000 such lawsuits around the U.S. The company has, of course, vowed to appeal the decision. My guest is Ronnie Cummins, International Director of the Organic Consumers Association. Welcome to the program, Ronnie.
Good to be with you today.
How historic is this settlement? Many have taken Monsanto on in the courts over the years. How does this particular decision compare to the history of challenging Monsanto legally?
Well, this is the first time that a jury has been able to look at the evidence and realize that not only is, in this case, Monsanto's Roundup and glyphosate a toxic poison, but that the company has known this for decades and that they have deliberately lied all this time. They have ghost-written articles in the scientific press. They've bought out politicians. They've bought out the mass media. They've literally gotten away with murder. And the problem from Monsanto's standpoint is that we still have things like Freedom of Information Act, where you can get access to documents, even if corporations don't want you to see them. We still have the remnants of a democracy in our jury system. And so these two things coming together spell disaster for Monsanto. I mean, this is just one case. Any jury that looks at any unbiased jury that looks at the information is going to rule the same way. There's already 5,000 people who have been poisoned by Monsanto that are filing cases. Just think of the other hundreds of thousands and millions of people who are now going to start thinking, well, maybe I should file suit too because they poisoned me. And of course, it's not just the United States. This is a global problem. Countries like El Salvador and Sri Lanka and France have already been trying to ban Roundup and glyphosate. They've been stymied or slowed down by the incredible power of Bayer and Monsanto and the global sort of chemical industrial genetic engineering complex. But I think now everyone is going to be emboldened and we are going to go forward. And we're going to take them down in the courts, as well as putting more pressure on in the marketplace to get stores to stop selling Roundup, to get food manufacturers to stop having foods and food ingredients that are derived from Monsanto, and basically revamp our entire system of food safety and scientific monitoring to reflect the interests of the people instead of the moneyed special interests.
Ronnie, let's focus a little bit on the specific lawsuit. Dwayne Johnson was a groundskeeper for university. The trial took place in San Francisco. He faces terminal non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. What were his lawyers able to present to the jury, as far as you know, to make the link between his cancer and his exposure to Roundup? Because as groundskeeper, he regularly applied this glyphosate-containing pesticide to the grounds that he was tasked with caring for. So how did he make that case? Because it's not always easy to link a cancer to a cause.
Yes, I think part of the thing that swayed the jurors, and of course it was unanimous, all the jurors on all 39 counts. I mean, I think there was one count from juror of the 39, but ruled that Monsanto was guilty. But I think part of the reason for this is that for the first time ever, evidence was able to be presented, which showed that Monsanto's own scientists realized how carcinogenic Roundup and glyphosate were, and they were, you know, expressing their concern and their alarm to others inside the Monsanto organization. These emails, these discussions came to light, so it became clear that not only did Monsanto produce a toxic product, but they knew it was toxic all along, and they deliberately covered it up. Other evidence came out that showing that Monsanto knew ahead of time that the International Agency on Research on Cancer, IARC, was going to rule in 2015 that indeed glyphosate was a probable cause of cancer. They had a plan and operation to discredit IARC, to lobby the U.S. government to cut off funds to the IARC, because that's an international organization, part of the United Nations World Health Organization, and so on and so forth. Evidence came out that Monsanto was basically writing articles about the safety of glyphosate and Roundup.
So all of this was heard by the jury?
This was evidence presented, yes. Yes. So this is the first time that these Monsanto papers have ever, you know, become public. Like I say, part of this was the Freedom of Information Act. Part of it were nonprofit groups that worked tirelessly, like U.S. Right to Know. And the word spread. The Monsanto papers got into the public domain, as well as into the court proceedings, and it became clear. It took the legal team a whole week to be able to impanel a jury in San Francisco, because most of the people they interviewed for jury duty in the San Francisco area, they already knew about Monsanto. They already knew about Roundup being a poison and being dangerous. And so we weren't allowed to have people on the jury who already knew what all of us should know. So we ended up with a group of people who really didn't know that much about Monsanto, really didn't know that much about Roundup or glyphosate, and truly learned through the process of the trial that this company was truly evil, and not only guilty, but they slapped a $250 million punitive fine on top of the $39 million for individual damages to Leroy Johnson.
Johnson, yeah.
We talk about these things in the abstract, mm-hmm. but when you see a relatively young father, family man like Leroy Johnson, when you see the face of a victim, it really brings it home. And we don't deserve to be poisoned by this corporation. And there's literally millions of us right now who have glyphosate residues in our urine, in our bloodstream. And why is that? Well, because it's in the water, it's in the rain, it's in every non-organic food that you consume. You know, we did a survey of our members. We've got a couple million organic consumers in our network across the country. So we offered a discount rate for people to get their urine tested across the country to see if they had glyphosate. And, you know, our network are people who are pretty conscious about what they eat. They're organic consumers. 73% of our members who sent in their urine for testing had traces of glyphosate.
Wow.
So literally, they've poisoned the entire country. Half of the crops in the United States today out there are genetically engineered crops, most of which have been genetically engineered to be able to be sprayed with this poison in large quantities. It's literally everywhere.
And Mr. Johnson is dying. He has been given just months to live. As you said, he's a father. He has two children, aged 10 and 13. And his wife also testified at the lawsuit. Now, Monsanto, in its propaganda supporting glyphosate, has constantly cited things like there's been 40 years of safe use, 800 studies demonstrating safety, 160 countries where glyphosate is used. But of these studies that Monsanto constantly cites, how many were done properly? How many did Monsanto have its, you know, have a role in actually funding and overseeing?
Yes, I mean, the bottom line is that Monsanto's 700, 800 studies they're talking about were typically industry studies. Many of them were paid for by Monsanto or their allies themselves. These studies had the same basic scientific shortcomings. Basically, I mean, they often did things that they were never looking at the actual Roundup, which is the formulation that people are coming into contact with. They would isolate out the glyphosate. They would do studies on lab animals that were too short of a period of time to show anything, or when they showed things, they'd throw out those parts of the studies and say that they weren't statistically significant. They would literally bury other studies that showed what was really going on. So the difference between the Institute, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, the IARC, which is the gold standard for global scientific food safety and environmental safety, they only dealt with peer-reviewed studies. That is, studies that had more credibility. And what they found was if you look at the peer-reviewed studies, as opposed to the studies of what I call indentured science, you find beyond a reasonable doubt that Monsanto is a probable carcinogen, which in technical language means it is.
Right. I mean, scientists take very great care to use probabilities when they have any sorts of causal links between things. And so when a scientific body says probably, it means certainly.
Yeah. And I mean, we have to realize the tobacco industry for 60 years claimed that cigarettes didn't give you lung cancer. And of course, they were using exactly the same tactics, tobacco science is called, that Monsanto and other large chemical companies use. And finally, the truth came out, and the tobacco companies were forced to pay billions and billions of dollars. Unfortunately, tobacco is still on the market, and these executives who deliberately engineered tobacco so that tobacco addicts couldn't quit smoking. They're not behind bars where they should be. People like Monsanto think, oh yeah, this might cost us some money over time, but we'll just go ahead with business as usual. Well, I think this is different. I think this is our food. This is worldwide. People are angry. Monsanto has succeeded in becoming the most hated corporation in the world, or one of the most hated.
Right.
And this is not going to go away.
So, Ronnie, the fact that there are thousands of lawsuits already in play against Monsanto, and that this particular one where the jury awarded Mr. Johnson a settlement, $39 million in personal compensation, $250 million in punitive damages. Monsanto says it's going to appeal the decision. But even if it does appeal the decision, because all of the things that Monsanto's has been hiding about glyphosate and Roundup Ready are now on the record, does the mere fact that this trial took place open the door for all the other trials to be more successful and simply increase their likelihood of actually reaching similar conclusions, similar settlements?
Yes, I mean, the fact that, you know, our judiciary system is filled with biased judges, you know, who have been appointed by extreme right-wing politicians. Nonetheless, it's hard for a judge and a jury, it's hard for the judge to overrule a jury when they rule like this, especially when the evidence, there is no evidence being put out there to contradict the jury decision. And so I think that, you know, you got Clarence Thomas, one of the worst judges in the world on the Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas used to be one of the general counsel members for Monsanto. Monsanto, when cases relating to them have come to the Supreme Court, they've prevailed. But even the Supreme Court of the United States is going to have real difficulty ever reversing this string of convictions that's now going to come down the pike for Monsanto. And you know, it's in the news that Bayer lost billions of dollars. They lost 11% of their stock value. There's major retailers in the European Union saying they're going to drop glyphosate now.
And actually, let me just stop you on that. Wasn't it just almost a year ago that the European Union actually gave the go-ahead for Roundup, or for glyphosate rather, to be approved in use for 5 more years? There was a moment when it was thought that Europe would essentially ban glyphosate, but then Monsanto got a 5-year pass.
Yes, I mean, they were asking for a 15-year, which is standard. The majority of countries the majority of the people in Europe wanted it banned. But because the European system, the commission, the executive branch, is about as democratic as we have in this country in terms of the way it works, it didn't get there. I can say if they were making that ruling today, as opposed to last year, it might have gone differently. And countries like France are saying they're going ahead. They're gonna continue a ban on glyphosate. You know, Germany and other countries are gonna move that way too. So I think, you know, I mean, the sad thing is that Bayer has comparable toxic herbicides, their Liberty Link herbicides, glufosinate resistant, that have always been in competition with Monsanto's, that even when we drive Roundup and glyphosate off the market, there's still 1,800 other toxic pesticides and herbicides and fungicides, parasiticides that are allowed out there. But nonetheless, this is a good start. This is the most widely used herbicide in the world. It is the linchpin for the entire technology of genetic engineering, which is the linchpin of our factory farm system and our idiotic ethanol production system. And it's, I think Jimmy Cliff said it a long time ago, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Ronnie, what about using other means to address Monsanto's Roundup Ready pesticides? Certainly Americans could wait for lawsuits like the one we're just talking about to force Monsanto to remove its products off of shelves. But what about getting the federal agency that's supposed to protect us from these sorts of things, which is the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, to properly regulate pesticides like Roundup? But doesn't the EPA unfortunately have a long history of a revolving door with Monsanto-linked scientists and staffers?
Yes, I think the important thing about this whole controversy, this whole decision, is that what it reveals is that our entire regulatory system in the United States is corrupt. The EPA, the USDA, the FDA, all of them. And the regulatory systems in most of the industrialized countries of the world, most of the countries of the world who've gone along with EPA, USDA, FDA, the White House. But I think that people are now going to have to start thinking about this. And obviously, anyone who thinks you can be a food activist or an environmental activist or a public health advocate, advocate for farm workers and people who apply these kind of chemicals, it's like there's no way to stay apolitical. We've got to all get involved in politics. I mean, the reason this happened is that we've got a corrupt Congress, as well as a corrupt White House, as well as corrupt regulatory agencies. This is not the Republican Party alone. This is the Democrats as well. You know, and until we get politicians elected to the highest levels of office who, you know, like the new president of Mexico, Lopez Obrador, or like at least the way he was talking when he was running for the Democratic nomination in 2016, Bernie Sanders, we are going to have to replace our political system. And of course, it's not just the federal system. I mean, in the United States, it's just mind-boggling to think about. We have over 500,000 elected public officials, if you count local, city, county, state, you know, everywhere from school boards that are allowing things like Roundup to be sprayed on their grounds, endangering not only the workers like Johnson, but the students, city councils. We got 40,000 cities and towns in the United States who are using Roundup to spray along roadways, to allow Roundup to be sprayed to clear underneath power lines. It's like who allow homeowners to spray Roundup on their lawns because they don't want to see any dandelions or whatever it is. This is insanity, but it's corruption from all the way up from your neighborhood to the highest reaches of the government. And I think what it shows us is that, yes, we got to stop buying. You can't be against Monsanto's Roundup and go out there and buy foods every day that were produced with Roundup. You know, it's if you want to be consistent, you got to start thinking when you pull out your wallet and vote with your consumer dollars for what is good for you, what's good for health, what's good for the health of the planet, and so on. But you also have to get involved politically, whether it's at the local, county, state, federal level, on all levels. And then the global community, you're having a global climate summit that I'm coming out to in September in San Francisco. One of the things that is clear is that we got global problems right now. The wildfires in California, for example, are part of a global phenomena of severe climate change, severe global warming. You know, California is not going to be able to solve these problems alone. The U.S. is not going to be able to solve these problems alone. We need the global community to work together. And we've got the same problem in 197 nations, which is that we're using toxic chemicals in agriculture instead of using methods that are healthy, climate-friendly, good for farmers, better for the economy of small farmers. And we got to deal with this in every nation of the world.
Well, Ronnie, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you putting it into a global context. Thanks so much. Give out a website for Organic Consumers Association.
Yes, www.organicconsumers.org, or you can go to our Facebook site, Organic Consumers, or else Millions Against Monsanto.
We'll link to those from our website. Thanks again, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Ronnie Cummins is International Director of the Organic Consumers Association. We've been discussing the $289 million settlement in a Monsanto lawsuit, a historic lawsuit. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.